So in the studio with me, I've got a very, very, very interesting young lady. Don't laugh. Very interesting young lady. This is Nikki Schuster. Now, Nikki, you actually own Renew Counselling, don't you?
Oh, I'm the CEO of Renew Counselling. We're a charity. Mm-hmm. We've been around since about 1904.
Oh.
So we provide counselling and support to people around Chelmsford, Basildon, Brentwood, Mid and South Essex, really.
Now, this is part of our Community Tree podcast that we're doing throughout the year. And we're talking about depression and anxiety and counsellors and mental health in general. Now, I know you do a lot. How many did you say that you...
About 16,000 sessions a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How long is each session?
Well, a counselling session is about 50 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
And how long did you train for to get into the job?
To be a counsellor. Well, my own training, I think I said to you, I was training for about 7 years in the end.
Yeah.
Although that's not the case for all training. I think I also said to you that we're in partnership with ARU and we provide training as well. So we can train people to become children and young people counsellors. And that takes about 4 years part time.
Right.
So someone can commit like a day a week and they can grow and develop and become counsellors.
Now, the last one of these that I done, we spoke to Sidra Naeem, and that's on the website, phoenixfm.com. Do you find, because she said that there was more children coming through recently because of lockdown and because of the pressure, I mean, over the past year or two, because of the pressure that we're putting on the children to give results in an exam. Do you find the same thing, or is it just mixed?
I think there's always been a lot of pressure on children and young people around exam time. There's no doubt about that. I think that COVID definitely has had an effect, and it's working its way through in a strange way. You know, you would have thought when COVID happened, for maybe 6 months, a year afterwards, kids would have been wobbly. But the impact of being homeschooled effectively, of being deprived the things that normal kids their age would have done, is telling and unfolding more slowly.
Yeah.
So you see there is an increased anxiety in children, definitely. There is an increase in children struggling to cope. You've probably seen that diagnosis of autism and ADHD are going through the roof.
Yeah. Do you think the COVID brought that out?
I don't know that COVID brought it out. I just think that perhaps children are struggling to cope.
Right.
And perhaps for some, they wouldn't have been picked up before because the difficulties they were having wouldn't have been as significant as they are now. It's hard to say, really. It really is, but I do know that children and young people, you can see the effects of that lack of socialisation on them now. Yeah, definitely.
And what about adults? Because I saw yesterday, I'm still seeing people wearing masks, face masks in supermarkets. Do you think it's the COVID had an effect on adults' mental health?
I really do. I think we underestimate the impact on adults. You know, there's a lot of pressure. Since COVID, we've had austerity, haven't we? There's been Brexit. There's been lots of changes within the country. And a lot of adults are expected to just pick up and keep going. And, you know, there's less money in your wallet.
Yeah.
There's higher bills coming through. The news can be very depressing as well.
I don't watch news.
There's job losses. There's lots and lots of pressures. And maybe your kids are struggling as well. So I do think that adults are under increased pressure at the moment and increased stress. Yeah.
I think social media takes its toll on people as well, to be honest with you.
It's interesting. Every time I speak to someone, that comes up pretty quickly. You know, it offers a lot, doesn't it? It offers a lot, but it also takes a hell of a lot.
It does take a lot. I mean, my wife came off social media. She went, "Do you know what? I've never felt happier."
Yeah.
Because you're constantly bombarded with, I mean, nobody puts a negative part on social media. Well, they all show the positives.
And I think if you don't feel great about yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe life's a bit rubbish. Yeah. You're drawn, aren't you? You're drawn to something to lift you. But what you're not realising is it's actually making you feel even more rubbish about yourself.
Yeah.
And I think there has been some research done around, you know, young people's mental health and social media. You know, we see it, don't we? We see it everywhere, how it's manifesting in the development of children and young people. You know, if you look on social media, every young person is doing their makeup or putting on their eyelashes. And then you're seeing kids wanting to imitate that.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we create an ideal through social media that nobody can ever live up to, and that dissatisfaction makes children and young people continually need external things to make them feel better rather than working on what's going on inside of them to feel better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Total sense. Is there a particular trigger that is more popular and affects more people than all the rest of the triggers? Because mental health is quite a complex subject.
Everybody is an individual. Everybody's own mental well-being is affected by different things because there's so much that comes into play.
Mm.
Your health, your social environment, your relationships. So it's a very difficult subject answer. I would say that developmentally, so if you look at adolescence in particular as an example, going through puberty at the same time as having exam stress, being told what to do and how to do it, maybe falling out with peers, being in this, if you look at a 14-year-old, you could be in the class with somebody who looks 40 and somebody else who looks 9.
Yeah.
And that one that looks 9 has been your friend forever, and so is the one who looks 45 and feels older.
Mm.
So their friendship groups are under an awful lot of pressure, around 13 or 14. So there's a lot of different things around that adolescence that young people are struggling with and managing that makes them very vulnerable,
right.
I think. So I would say it's life cycle more than triggers per se, if that makes sense.
Is there this is something I've always wanted to know. Is there a particular age group where when someone's developing mid-teen years, early teen years for male and female, that has a biggest impact on how they end up being as an adult? And is the age group different between male and female?
These are very complex questions you're asking me.
Sorry.
And again, I'm going to come back and say everybody is an individual and you're looking to anchor something in something.
Yes.
You know, if you're a 14-year-old and mum and dad are well off and available to you and you're going through hardship, that's a protective factor around you.
Mm.
If you're a young person and mum and dad are splitting up, you know, school's giving you lots of hassle around your exams, etc. You've fallen out with your friends. There's an awful lot going on. Your life experience is going to be different.
Oh, yes, you've had the rug pulled away from underneath you.
Exactly.
All of a sudden.
So it's very normal to want to know what's the absolute answer on this. But I think what I'm saying to you is
everyone's different.
Everyone is different, depending on what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
And what's going on inside of them.
Because I've noticed through adults that some people handle some situations so easily, and then the next person that they're friends, they can't handle it.
Mm.
They just turn their back on it, or they walk away, or they're almost shutting themselves off to the.
Yeah.
And you think what's happened in those two different people's lives to handle the same data, the same input data differently.
Yeah, well, that is the way it works.
Yeah,
and, you know, I think. You will see on social media people talk about PTSD and trauma an awful lot. And the way we use this language, it becomes quite flippant.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, there are people who've had continual trauma through their life. And so managing stuff becomes harder. And then you have someone who's had quite a secure life, fortunately, and a trauma comes along out of the blue that they would never have expected. And they don't have the resilience to deal with it because they haven't had that training built up. So it is quite complex, really.
So just after World War II, people were a lot more resilient to the small problems. Is that about right?
That's exactly it.
Further and further we're getting away from that. We seem to be coming as a human race, softer and softer because we've not been faced with the aggravation.
I don't know. I think everybody's experience is unique, and generationally that's the case as well, isn't it? I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking, you know, I remember when I had small children and my mum would try and tell me what to do, and I think she knows nothing.
I'll get that for my son.
And now my daughter's just had a child, and again, I can feel like there's so much out there, you know? Things change, don't they, through life. And I suppose what I'm thinking about when you talk about that is there's a thing, a theory called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which lots of people talk about.
Yeah.
And what it basically says is if you have food in your belly, a roof over your head, heating, an intimate relationship, then you can start worrying about other things.
The next level.
Effectively, you move up a level. And I think after World War II, people didn't have those basic needs.
No, that was the basic needs
so
they wanted.
So their focus was on those things. Mm. Whereas now, I'd like to be able to say to you, many people have those basic needs met, but I think in recent years, even those basic needs are under challenge.
Yeah, they are at the moment.
And perhaps the difference between now and after the Second World War is everybody was affected by the Second World War.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody has a tough time. And that can be hard if you're looking on social media or on the telly and seeing people living these opulent lifestyles and you're struggling to pay your bills. I imagine it's harder than it would have done
after the Second World War. Totally. Nikki, I could carry on talking to you all day. You're a fascinating lady. You really are.
I'm not, but the subject matter is.
Oh, no, it's you. Don't underestimate. Don't underestimate the power of your mind. Have you got a website and a telephone number in case somebody's listening and they want to get in contact?
We do. And because we're based in Basildon, Brentwood and Chelmsford, I'm not going to give you all three phone numbers. I'd say go on the website, Renew Counselling. So it's renew.org.uk in my head. And you can get in touch with us that way. We have a Facebook page. You can get in touch. You can DM us. That's absolutely fine. Look at us talking about social media now. I'm giving you all of this. I'll give you our head office number because I think that would be fair.
Okay.
01245 269 335. That's Chelmsford. So if you call there, they'll put you through to the offices in Basildon and Brentwood.
Brilliant.
And you can access our counselling
service. I'm going to put the telephone number underneath this when we put this on the website.
And I'll give
I'm
you all
the,
three.
I'm going to put the link on there as well, so people have just got to click the link.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. It's been a fascinating conversation. It really has.
You're more than welcome.